are going to talk with an expert this hour about navigating the Affordable Care Act's healthcare exchanges and how to find a plan that is best for you. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday. Why do I keep saying Tuesday? It's Wednesday, October the 2nd. Yesterday, the healthcare marketplace opened up for the first time for consumers looking for insurance through the healthcare exchanges. We will talk about who needs to sign up for insurance, how to do that, plus our guests will answer any questions you have about the process, the plans, the cost. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are very happy to have with us Sarah Valencia. She is Director of Medical Operations for Access Community Health Centers in Madison. Good morning. So tell us what Access Community Health Center's role is in the healthcare exchanges.
We have a number of certified application counselors that we have hired and trained on staff that are available to people in the community at the job center as well as patients of our clinics to help people navigate and understand how to enroll into the marketplace as well as the expanded Badger Care.
Yeah, and you were available to provide this assistance yesterday?
Yes, we had four of our certified application counselors at the job center, as well as staff in our clinics to help people who needed that assistance.
And similar assistance is happening in communities around Wisconsin?
Yes, there are a number of certified application counselors and organizations around the state that are being trained and working to help their consumers, as well as navigators that received the federal navigation grant.
So were you seeing a lot of traffic on foot where you were yesterday?
At the job center, we saw just over 30 people that walked in for assistance in learning about the marketplace and the Badger Care expansion. And in our clinics, we were helping patients as they came in. So I would say we saw just over 50 people that were looking for assistance.
Well, a lot more people appear to be going online, according to some of the news stories. Nearly 3 million people visited the federal healthcare sites, and they found a lot of long delays and glitches and problems. What do you know about these problems and whether they've been fixed?
Mm-hmm. What I understand is that the glitches of the actual application and the creating the account, it sounds like most people were stuck at the security question page when they were trying to create their account. That has been resolved as far as I've learned. I think now there's just a lot of traffic in getting onto the website.
Yeah, we just signed on and we get the message. We have a lot of visitors on the site right now. Please stay on this page. And it's 10 after 6 in the morning.
Yes.
So what does that demand online tell you?
I think it tells us that there's a lot of interest in the marketplace. A lot of people want to know what's on there. I wouldn't say that all 3 million of those people are people that are going to end up applying for the marketplace. It's probably advocates, other people that are just curious, what does the marketplace look like? But because we haven't been able to see what the application is or anything, I think there's a lot of curiosity and people want to see what the plans are, what they look like, what they might be eligible for.
Yeah, and you ended up not being able to do everything you might want to do with the 50 or so people that you dealt with yesterday because of the online problems. You need to go online, too, to answer those or to get people signed up.
Correct. As the certified application counselors, that's where we go, is that online application to help our customers sign up.
So these exchanges for the healthcare insurance plans opened yesterday. What does this mean in practical terms?
It means that people can go out, they can shop for insurance, they can see if they might qualify for a premium, they might even qualify for the expanded Badger Care that will cover adults below 100% of the poverty level. And it allows them to shop, to pick a plan that will work for them. And as long as somebody signs up by December 15th and pays their first premium, they will have insurance that starts January 1st.
So the deadline to sign up in order to be actually insured by January 1st is December 15th.
That's right.
So how do people figure out if they would benefit from signing up on the exchange?
Well, by going online, or if the website is is down, coming in and talking with whatever a certified application counselor, or calling the 800 number that is the federal marketplace number. There are a number of questions that one can answer to see what they might be eligible for.
For the most part, though, I'm a state employee. I'm an employee of the University of Wisconsin, somebody who works for a company that has employer-provided health care insurance. We don't need to go to these exchanges to find insurance. If you have employer-based insurance, you don't sign up.
That's correct. Employer-based insurance. If you have Medicare, you don't need to sign up. Those folks will stay with the insurance that they have right now.
So who does sign up?
Who signs up are people who are currently uninsured, people who have been participating in the high insurance risk pool, otherwise called HRSP, here in the state of Wisconsin, and folks that currently have Medicaid that may fall off of Medicaid based on their income level, and those would be adults. Those would be the main groups of people that will need to sign up.
So what is the first step that those people should do?
The first step would be to go online and create an account. And there's some, after you create the account, there are some very simple questions that the website will guide you through that will determine if you're going to be eligible for Medicaid, if you're going to be eligible for the marketplace, if you're going to be eligible for premium assistance. And so just answering those questions, it'll guide you through. And then once at the end of that login application, then it will determine or it'll help you find the health plans in your area that you could sign up for.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you weren't able to get online, you mentioned that you were able to at least give your in-person visitors a checklist of things that they could be figuring out so once they can get online, they'll have the answers ready. What kinds of things can people do if they can't get online?
They need to have prepared, before they can do the application, they'll need to have their Social Security number. They'll need to have their employer information and their income information to do the application. So it'd be wise to have pay stubs or their W-2 with them in hand when doing the application. If they have any current health insurance plan, maybe it's under HRSP or privately purchased insurance, they'll want to have that health insurance information with them. There are some questions about that. And then there's a what's called the employer coverage tool, and it asks specific questions about the employer, how much they make, what their employer identification number is, all things that people would answer if they were doing their taxes. And it would be wise for folks to look at that tool online and come with that information so that they can fill out the application completely.
All right. So then once we are trying to navigate to find out what plan is right for us, There's different tiers. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
There are the four basic tiers. They're bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. And then there's also a catastrophic plan. The catastrophic plan is only for a specific group of people that are generally the younger folks or people who otherwise would have an exception from needing to sign up for this. But the bronze, silver, gold, and platinum plans all cover the essential health benefits package, which means that they have a set level of coverage that they have to provide. The difference between the levels is the percentage that the consumer pays for their health care. So for the bronze package, for example, in general, the insurance company would pay for 60% of the health insurance cost and the consumer would pay for 40%. For the silver plan, the insurance company would pay for about 70% and the consumer would pay for 30%. The gold is an 80-20 split and the platinum is a 90-10. And then that 10% or 20% or 30%, whatever the percent of the consumer's responsibility is paid by copays or deductibles. And that's all in the plans. And so when people go online to look at what plans they want, they can see maybe there are three gold options. Maybe some have higher copays, others have higher deductibles, and patients or customers can decide what works best for their financial situation.
Mm-hmm. So within the same tier, why would there be widely different copays or et cetera with the gold plan, for example? Why wouldn't they all be kind of the same?
Well, I think one of the big mysteries about this initial healthcare reform was each insurance company determined their prices. And it was done in a somewhat of a silo. So we don't know what the price is for insurance company A versus B. So there may be some varying costs there. But the other differences would be in the copays and the deductibles, and it would just be people would have to decide, do they want to pay upfront when they go into the doctor? Do they want to wait and pay a percentage at the end of their visit when they receive their bill as in the form of a deductible? So those would be the main areas of variance.
We'll talk more about these different plans and navigating these plans. But what were some of the more common questions that you saw in your clinic yesterday?
A lot of the questions were, what am I eligible for? How much would this cost me? How can I pay for this? What plans work for me? Where can I go to get care? Those are a lot of the main questions we experienced.
Well, those are good questions. Mm-hmm. We'll cover some of those as well on a general basis. Anyway, we are navigating the healthcare exchanges this hour, and our guest is here to provide some advice on how to do that, the ins and outs of navigating the healthcare marketplace. 1-800-642-1234 is our number if you have a question. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The federal exchanges for purchasing insurance under the Affordable Care Act opened yesterday. We are talking with a guest about navigating the exchanges and finding a plan that is right for you and welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Are you planning to buy insurance on the healthcare exchanges? Are you already signed up? I don't know if anybody was able to do that. There were so many glitches yesterday and so much traffic. Have you encountered any problems along the way? Let us know. Our guest is Sarah Valencia, Director of Medical Clinic Operations for Access Community Health Centers in Madison. Karen in Whitewater emails, "My husband and I do not have insurance. We have 3 children. We have all gone uninsured for years. Will the kids be eligible for Badger Care, or should we all sign up through the marketplace?"
One of the great things about the marketplace website is that there's no wrong door. So what I would recommend for this family is that they go onto the marketplace, healthcare.gov, create their login, and answer all of those questions. The marketplace website will determine what the kids are eligible for based on the family income and what the adults are eligible for. If the children are indeed eligible for Badger Care, the healthcare.gov website will send that family's information directly to that person's, that family's county for processing of the Badger Care application for those children, if indeed the children are eligible for Badger Care. And the adults can then continue on the marketplace website to pick their plan that would work for them. If the children aren't eligible for Badger Care, then the family can choose a family plan that would work for their situation.
Yeah. Well, I actually have a friend who is self-employed and self-insured, and it's pretty expensive as it is right now. Or it has been, at least for the past couple of years for her. And she does purchase a plan where she has just an incredibly high deductible. Like, you know, I mean, it's almost catastrophic coverage. Mm-hmm. But she said that even this plan that she has been purchasing now for some time is being jacked up in price. And now it's going to cost her more than $400 a month for a plan that she says is, you know, she can't afford it. So what does someone like that do?
You know, I would say definitely go onto the marketplace, the healthcare.gov website, put in its income, self-employed. There are different questions. And so when she goes on, she'll indicate that she's self-employed. And then they would have a different subset of questions. There are different deductions that can be taken out of the overall income. And I would suggest that she look to see if she's eligible for a premium tax credit that would help her pay for some of the premium costs, and see if it would be a better price for her on a monthly basis, as well as a better level of coverage.
And again, I know that you don't know her individual circumstances or income and all that kind of stuff, but it actually kind of shocked me that someone who is, she's no spring chicken, but she is going to pay out of pocket before any of this insurance kicks in at least $5,000. And And so she pretty much pays for everything she goes to the doctor for. But still, just to carry insurance, it was going to cost her at least, actually, it was well over $400 a month. This is before the exchanges. Mm-hmm. Now, this subsidy is likely to help somebody like her?
For a single person, a family size of one, somebody earning up to $45,960 a year would qualify for some sort of subsidy assistance on the marketplace. And it would depend on their income. That would be how the premium tax credit is calculated, depending on their exact income. But it's somebody up to what they say 400% of the poverty level, which is that $45,960 for a family of one, would qualify for some sort of premium tax credit.
Yeah, so the price that we see on the bronze tier or the platinum tier it may not be what we end up paying overall, because we could get this subsidy, or we would likely get a subsidy that would lower that premium.
That's correct. And in order to get the premium tax credit, one would have to select a silver plan. And that's all described in the application when someone is going on and it looks like they will be qualified for a premium tax credit. It will be very clear for those folks that they'll need to select a silver plan.
So only the one tier is eligible for the subsidy.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. We have a caller, Jason in Milwaukee. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Joy. I just had a question for your guest as far as the four different plans and out-of-pocket maximums.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm just curious what the out-of-pocket maximums are going to be, or if they're going to exist for these four different plans. And if they do exist, how do they vary between the plans?
The maximum out-of-pocket spending limits for somebody who's not receiving premium tax credit, or who's somebody's not in specific income levels, will match what the health savings account qualified health plan limits are. And so for a single person, the max out-of-pocket for a year is $5,950. That might have gone up. My numbers are from, I believe, 2012. So whatever the current HSA limits are, it's around, we'll say around $6,000 for a single person. For a family, it's around $12,000 for family coverage. And that would be for anybody who is above 250% of the poverty level, which we could get into what all of those numbers mean, but that would be the max out-of-pocket spending, and that would be the same for each plan. That's part of the healthcare law, that is the maximum for each plan.
And that means that if you're paying a copay or the deductible, as soon as you get to that number, that out-of-pocket maximum, then you don't have to pay that anymore.
That's correct.
Yeah, does that answer your question, Jason?
That does. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And how is that different than my friend's $5,000 deductible?
You know, a plan could still technically have a $5,000 deductible and still be within this maximum out-of-pocket spending. The good news is once she would reach that $5,000, then she wouldn't have to pay any more out-of-pocket, which is one of the goals of the healthcare reform, is to keep people from going into debt, high debt or bankruptcy from healthcare costs. And that's why they put the maximum out-of-pocket limits in there.
Mm-hmm. Jeff emails, I am 60 years old. My total income this year will be less than $10,000. I applied for Badger Care in February, but I was placed on what appears to be a permanent waiting list. Medicaid is unavailable to me. I am now hearing I cannot enter the insurance exchange because my income is too low. Is this correct? If it is, I will continue to go uninsured.
I would say that was the situation for folks in this exact life situation. However, now, starting January 1, Badger Care has been expanded to cover adults that are below the 100% poverty level, which would be below $11,490 annual income, can now get onto Badger Care. And so the Badger Care core wait list that the caller is indicating in the email was in effect, but starting January 1st, those folks will be able to get onto Badger Care. And so what I would recommend is that this person go onto the marketplace, because there's no wrong door. Even though they think they're going to qualify for Badger Care, they can still go to healthcare.gov fill out the application, it will say, oh, it looks like you qualify for Medicaid or Badger Care in the state of Wisconsin, and they will send that person's information to that person's county consortia where they process those applications and will start that process for him.
Interesting. So he thought that because of Governor Walker's rejection of federal funds that Medicaid is not available to him, but you're saying that that's not true.
That's correct. So Governor Scott Walker did decline the Medicaid expansion funds, but was creative in a different way and is expanding Badger Care using state dollars to cover adults that are below 100% of the poverty line.
So he is, because he makes less than $10,000 a year as a single adult. So he's a part of that.
He will be eligible for Badger Care.
Well, we are navigating the healthcare exchanges this hour. A lot of people having trouble getting online with heavy traffic and some glitches interfering with the launch of the healthcare marketplace yesterday, the first day that people could go online to try to shop for healthcare plans under the exchanges. But we are getting some advice over the air. If you have a question, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Sarah Valencia, Director of Medical Clinic Operations for Access Community Health Centers in Madison. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking with a guest this hour about navigating the Affordable Care Act's healthcare exchanges and welcoming your questions and your experiences. Have you encountered any problems going online when the healthcare marketplace opened up yesterday? Lots of glitches and delays. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:37 on this Wednesday, October 2nd. Our guest is Sarah Valencia. She is Director of Medical Clinic Operations for Access Community Health Centers in Madison. Here to answer your questions about navigating the exchanges and purchasing the plan that is right for you. Sarah, I wanted to ask you a little bit about why people should purchase insurance through these exchanges if they're eligible to. We had an emailer who said, "Hey, I can't afford this. I'm going to go uninsured." Why should that person reconsider?
Health insurance is important, similar to car insurance. You never know when you're going to get in an accident. You never know when you're going to get sick. And health insurance will help keep people out of going bankrupt due to health reasons and will help them be able to better, in some ways, budget for their health. And so if somebody can choose a plan and they know, each time I go to the doctor, I'm going to have this copay, or I have a $5,000 deductible this year, I could save so much per month. It allows folks to have a better control of how much they're going to spend on their health care. And it gives a sense of security that if I do get sick or injured, that I will have something that will help pay for my services when I'm in the hospital, if I have to go to the doctor, if I do get critically sick.
So those are good reasons to do it. It's also the law. You have to do this under the Affordable Care Act.
Yes. After January 1st, you have to have health insurance. Otherwise, there will be, for the first year, it's a $95 tax that you would have to pay on your taxes at the end of the year. And then as each year goes on, that dollar amount will go up to the point of it will be 2.5% of a person's income would be the penalty if they don't have health insurance.
Yeah, maybe you're not prepared to answer this, but what is the point of that individual mandate?
The point of it is to get as many people purchasing this health insurance as possible, which will help keep the rates down for others that are also purchasing it. We need healthy people purchasing health insurance and participating in the marketplace just as much as people who maybe are sicker or are going to use health resources a little bit more to help keep the cost down for everybody.
Let's take some more calls. We have Peg in Sturgeon Bay with us now. Hi, Peg.
Good morning, Joy. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. My question is, what are the poverty levels for the single and the couples? I don't think a lot of people know what actually is in that statement there. What is the poverty level?
Thanks for that question, Peg.
The federal poverty level is an income set based on family household income, and this would be in this situation before taxes are taken out, as well as looking at how many people are in the family unit, and that determines what percentage of poverty somebody's living at. So for a single person, as we had mentioned earlier, somebody at 100% of the poverty level, which is the level at which someone would qualify for Badger Care if they are an adult, that is $11,490 a year of annual income before taxes are taken out. If it's a single person, and let's say they're above the 100%, the 400% poverty level, which is the level that somebody would no longer be able to qualify for premium tax credit if they go over the 400%. So for a single person, that dollar amount is $45,960. For a family of two, if it's a married couple, let's say they don't have children, at 100% of the poverty level, which would be, again, which is where they would qualify for Badger Care, up to that dollar amount for a family of two would be $15,510. And the 400%, which is the limit that a family of two could purchase health insurance and get the premium tax credit, that amount, that limit is $62,040. So you can see that the higher the FPL percentage or federal poverty level percentage, the more annual income that family unit has. And so again, it's dependent on how many people are in the family and what their annual income, and that puts them at a percentage of the poverty level.
And then is there a poverty level as well for a couple with children?
Yep. So there's a chart, and if somebody could just Google federal poverty level guidelines for 2013 and they could see all of this. So there's family sizes of three, of four. It goes all the way up. And so the income goes up. The limits would go up as the number of people in the family go up.
Well, we are getting a lot of calls. But so, again, depending on your circumstances and depending on when this online site actually starts allowing more people on, just kind of walk us through very briefly what people would be doing and considering along the way.
Of the application.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As they go on, they will be, first of all, they're going to be told through the marketplace application if it looks like they're going to qualify for Medicaid in the state of Wisconsin, that would be Badger Care, or if it looks like they're going to qualify for a premium tax credit, or if they're not going to qualify for Medicaid or a premium tax credit and are just going to go onto the exchange and pay the full price. They'll have their decision points there that people will have to make. If it looks like they'll qualify for Badger Care, the information will be sent to their county consortia for processing, and that person will wait to hear back from the county around their eligibility. If it looks like they're going to qualify for premium tax credit, the person or family are going to be able to make a decision. Do they want to receive that premium tax credit all in advance, which means that each month they would pay, let's say their portion that they would pay is $50 and the premium tax credit help they would get is $50. If they choose to receive the premium tax credit as an advance, the federal government would basically write the $50 check to the health insurance exchange, just like that family would write their $50 check each month. And then at the end of the year, the family does their taxes. And they, depending on their income, it will be assessed. Yes, it looks like you paid enough and you got this much in premium, and so you're good to go. Maybe the family's income changed mid-year and their tax credit should have been more, then they would get a refund on their taxes. Maybe they didn't pay enough in and were getting too much tax credit each month. And at the end of the year, they might owe on their taxes. So there's a little bit of risk in taking it in the advanceable form, but it does help people with monthly budgeting. The other option is if somebody qualifies for the tax credit, the family could pay the entire monthly premium to the health insurance company each month. At the end of the year, then the family would do their taxes. They would, the government would look at their income and say, it looks like you qualified for this amount of credit, and here's your tax refund. And the family would get this tax refund in a lump sum at the end of the year. So that's a decision that the family would have to make when doing the application, if they want to take it advanceable or if they want to wait for the full refund at the end of the year. So that's a decision point they'd have to make. Then after making that decision, then they would move on to looking at what the different plans are in their area. And it depends on where the folks live, depends what plans are going to be available in the area. And if they're going to receive a premium tax credit, the website will guide them to looking specifically at that silver level plan so that they can choose something that's within that plan level if they want to receive that premium tax credit. So that's kind of the final decision point in the application process, is picking that plan. Once they pick that plan, then they'll be guided to that plan's website and payment process and be able to decide how do they want to make their monthly payments to the health insurance plan.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more on things that maybe should be considered when picking the specific plan, but we have so many callers. Let me go to Paula in Cambridge. Hello, Paula.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm wanting to know, I have a plan through my work, but I'm very unhappy with it, and I'm wondering if I'm eligible to check out the exchange and take a different plan through that.
There are options for people who have insurance through their employer. And so what I would recommend is go onto the healthcare.gov website and have the information about your employer and about the health insurance that they offer you, and answer those questions on the healthcare.gov website, and it will tell you, it'll say, it looks like your employer coverage does not make you eligible to participate in the marketplace, or you can participate in the marketplace, but you may not receive premium tax credit, even though you're technically within that income level that you could. And so you could go onto the marketplace and pay full price for that product and without any problem. But if you're hoping to receive a premium tax credit, that's when they would look at what kind of coverage is your employer offering, what percentage of your income is that employer-sponsored insurance. And those are questions that when you go on the healthcare.gov website and you answer those questions, it will guide you through, and it will in the end tell you, it looks like your employer-sponsored coverage is your best option here.
Mm-hmm. So do you...
Ineligible.
I'm sorry, Paula?
So it won't actually make me ineligible.
No, if you were hoping to get the premium tax credit or help in paying your monthly premiums, then the employer-sponsored health insurance might make you ineligible for the premium tax credits. Anybody can go on and pay full price for the health insurance on the marketplace.
That's what I was wondering. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea if you don't get that premium tax credit and you're unhappy with your employer's health insurance, whether you're going to just be paying through the nose for that?
You know, I don't have the prices because I haven't been able to get through the website, so I don't know.
Okay. Let's go next to Layla in Madison. Hi, Layla.
Hi. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
I was just wondering about COBRA, which you might have answered in the last question, if I'd be eligible if I'm on COBRA to participate.
My answer, I feel like a broken record sometimes, but is to go onto the website and it will ask you specifically, are you participating in COBRA? My initial answer is yes, you would be eligible to go on and participate. But there might be some different circumstances based on your situation that would make it so that it wouldn't work for you. But I believe that if you are on COBRA, you should definitely go onto that website, put in your information, and I'm pretty sure that you would be able to sign up for something.
What is COBRA again?
COBRA is if you get laid off or let go from your employer and you want to continue with your health insurance, you can, but you as the employee or a former employee would have to pay full price for that health insurance.
Good luck, Layla. We are talking about the healthcare exchanges, the federal exchanges for purchasing insurance under the Affordable Care Act, opened yesterday, and we are talking with a guest about the ins and outs of navigating the exchanges and welcoming your questions and welcoming your experiences. Have you encountered problems trying to sign up or get more information? Are you planning to buy insurance on the federal health care exchanges? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking about the new healthcare exchanges with Sarah Valencia, Director of Medical Clinic Operations for Access Community Health Centers in Madison. And our next caller is Jody in Superior. Hi, Jody.
Hi. I have two questions, actually. One of them is, if you are self-employed and your income has a lot of variability, are you better to apply for a plan on the exchange that, you know, that maybe 1 year in the hopes that you might get a subsidy, that you'd be prepared to take that subsidy versus, you know, buying something off the exchange when your income is higher 1 year and the next year your income drops lower and you would get a subsidy? Would you be better to choose one on the exchange?
Sarah?
Yes, likely that would be the best option for you. You can go on to healthcare.gov. It does have a special question set for self-employed and for people who have varied income. And so you can say what you earned last year. If you think that last year's annual income would be about what you would be making this year, even though month to month it varies, you can use your annual income. There are other ways that that income can be looked at. One thing that I would recommend you do then is that put in your application. See, it might say you qualify for a premium tax credit or you might not. I would say then do the refundable option so that you would pay full price for that marketplace product throughout the year. And then at the end of the year, based on what your final annual income was, you would get a refund if you were qualified for any of those premium tax credits. That would protect you from owing a lot of money at the end of the year in case maybe in January you put down that your annual income was going to be X and then you made more than you thought you were going to and you didn't report it to the health exchange, however that might work. At the end of the year, you could end up owing on the taxes. And so I would recommend that you take that as the refundable option at the end of the year to make sure that you're not putting yourself at risk for having more tax owing at the end of the year.
I have one other question, too. Because with Obamacare, you can stay on a plan with dependent children until you're age 26. So when you look at a family rate to determine these subsidies, do you, like, let's say you have a 24 and a 25-year-old dependent, are you including their income? I mean, would you be including their income to determine whether you would or would not be eligible for a subsidy?
That's a good question. I don't know that I can answer that specifically, but as you go through the healthcare.gov website, because I haven't been able to see the website yet, I'm not sure exactly how the questions are structured, but I do know that it will ask your dependents, and if you claim those children on your taxes, or even if you don't, they will still ask about them, and it will ask about their income. I believe that their income would be counted, but again, I would recommend you go to the healthcare.gov, put in that information, and it will ask you for the information that it wants.
Thanks, Jody. Good luck to you. Jerry on Facebook asks, what happens when the person getting a tax credit subsidy for health care has an income so low the taxes they pay are lower than the credit? Are they written a check for the difference?
They would be refunded. Mm-hmm. It would come in the form of a tax refund. When a person does their taxes at the end of the year, if they paid more than they should have based on the subsidy, then they'll get a refund back. Mm-hmm.
And John in La Crosse emails, is the exchange system a better deal than Medicare plus all the supplemental coverage that you need to buy while on Medicare?
People on Medicare should not be going on to the Marketplace.gov exchange. They should be sticking with their Medicare plans and the Medicare Part B supplemental plans.
People on Medicare are not eligible for the exchange.
They're not eligible for the premium tax credits.
Oh.
Anybody can go on and purchase the and pay the full price, but it would not be a better deal than supplemental.
Right. So I was wondering if there's any way you can give us sort of just some general guidelines. If you're all right, you've answered all the questions. You're there. You're now looking at you've decided you're going to go for the silver plan because you want the tax subsidy. You're that far in the process. How do you decide among all the different plans there? Which one is the one you want?
I think first you need to decide how much out of pocket or how you want to pay your out of pocket. Do you want to pay it in the form of copays? Do you want to pay it in the form of a deductible? Once you decide that, I would suggest looking at where do you go to get your primary care? Where's your primary care provider? are the health plans offered? Do they cover that primary care provider? Is it a preferred provider? Where do you go for specialty care? What hospital would you want to go to if you needed to go to the emergency room or if you needed a surgery? Looking at what providers are in those plans and then picking your plan based on that would be my recommendation.
Uh-huh. So would my is there a chance my provider is not going to be in the plan in these plans?
Yes, I would say mm-hmm. that there is that possibility, and it will depend on the person's county where they're living and what plans are in there and what providers are part of that network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you would then have to choose another primary care doctor.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, if Cynthia, if you've been able to get back on the health.gov site. It was said when we first started the hour to just wait in line. Let's see if it's opened up yet. Nope, it hasn't opened up yet. So there's still some glitches to be worked out here. Sarah, what advice do you have for people today when it comes to shopping the exchanges?
Yeah. If the website is down or not working, there is an 800 number that is put on by the federal government that you can do an entire application, even choosing your plans over the phone with this federal call center. And that phone number is 1-800-318-2596. And again, that number is where you can call, and it's the same questions as the online application. So if somebody doesn't have access to the internet or the website's not working and they want to sign up today, they can call that number. Again, it's 1-800-318-2596.
And then there are also some in-person places to go, right?
There are, although those in-person places mm-hmm. need the internet to be able to help those folks. So hopefully the website starts to work again today.
We did put the checklist that that you've been giving your clients. Mm-hmm. We put that up on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. The healthcare.gov link is also on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Sarah, there's certainly you have to sign up for something if you are eligible and to sign up for a plan through the exchanges. You need to do that by September or December 15th. However, there's no need to do it today, is there? I mean, shouldn't people take their time looking this over a little bit anyway?
Definitely. I would recommend. There's not a huge rush. Your coverage, no matter if you sign up today or December 15th, won't start until January 1st. And so I would definitely recommend. Once the website is working, you can go on, you can create a username, you can look at your plans, you can log out, you can log back in another week and look at your plans again, you can talk to your primary care provider, find out what plans they're under. There's a lot of things you can be doing. It does not all need to be done.
We have just 30 seconds to go. You want to, I guess, is this a good thing for people who don't have insurance right now or insurance that that they don't like?
Definitely, I believe this is a good thing, especially with Badger Care expanding to adults that are living under the 100% of the poverty level. They'll now be eligible, and folks will qualify for premium tax credits, and I think should definitely take advantage of this opportunity.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Sarah Valencia is Director of Medical Clinic Operations for Access Community Health Centers in Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks to Christy Taylor, to Robin Cherry, and to Cynthia Schuster for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.